We all know how hard it is to name your child. Katie and I went back and forth on names for Kurt and Victoria throughout the pregnancy. We looked at names from our families. We looked in the book of names. You compare how each name sounds. You know that this little child, whom you have yet to meet, will be living with this name all their lives. Some cultures wait for 2 years before naming a child, part of it because of infant mortality, and part of it because the child's personality will reveal itself in a name. Before the service, Renata was telling me that she was given a gift and it's not 12 pictures from the first month to the 12th month of her grandchild, each month revealing yet a new character trait of this child. That's what's happening. Our culture picks out a name even before the child is born. But there is one parent who named his son centuries before he was born, and that parent is God. There are two verses in Isaiah which we accept as talking about Jesus. One is quoted by Matthew, and the other is alluded to in the Gospels. The first is Isaiah 7:14, which reads, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." The second is in Isaiah 9:6, which Rebecca read for us, which reads, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." To the ancient world, these names held great significance. To them, a name was more than something you just picked out because it sounded right or would make the child distinctive. The name was the person. It defined them. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the naming ceremony for John the Baptist. The extended family was shocked that Zechariah and Elizabeth would choose a name like John, because this put the child outside of the family tree. The child's origins and roots would be lost with a name like John. It was bad parenting on their part. But with Joseph and Mary, the naming was not something they needed to worry about, for God named his son. In Luke 1:31, the angel Gabriel says to Mary, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." Joseph is given similar instructions in Matthew 1:21. Since all the Gospels were written in Greek, and that was the language that the world understood at the time, it is the name Jesus that we use. But the angel Gabriel would have been speaking Hebrew or Aramaic to Mary. She would have been told to name him Yeshua. As such, Jesus would have been known as Yeshua ben Yosef, or Joshua, son of Joseph. But the name Yeshua is important because it means to rescue or to deliver. We are all familiar with the name Joshua, some more so than others. To us, it brings to mind Joshua and the Battle of Jericho. Joshua, who took over for Moses and delivered the Israelites into the Promised Land. But now we have Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, who will rescue the people of the earth. Jesus, who will deliver his people back to God. As the angel Gabriel states, because he will save his people from their sins. At the beginning of Matthew, we have Jesus being given a name. What's truly important here is that God is giving this child his name. Nothing could be more important than to understand that God was saying something when he gave his son this name. From the very outset, God is stating who his son would be, what role he would play in God's plan for his creation. Jesus would be the one who rescues God's people. Jesus would deliver us from the land of darkness into the promised land, which is into the presence of God himself. As Moses led the people across the Red Sea, as Joshua led the people across the River Jordan, so Jesus would lead God's people from death into life. An act he performs each and every day as people give their lives over to him. I wonder, who is thinking about Christmas Day right now? Who is considering the person that Jesus is? Someone is talking to their friend about Jesus, telling them that he is their rescuer, their deliverer. And a light is going on in that person's heart. And they are giving themselves over to Jesus as we sit here now. That is the power of the name of Jesus. But there's more. Sort of like Ginzu knives, you know? There's more. This is not the only name we have for Jesus. We also have four names given in Isaiah 9:6. Again, since this is a prophetic verse, these names come from God. Once again, God is naming his Son. In these names, we see how God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit are linked. The first name we hear in Isaiah is Wonderful Counselor. This is Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit. Here we have a foretaste of the one God would send through Jesus. Everyone wants a counselor. Kings, prime ministers, presidents rely on their counselors. A counselor can make or break a leader. A bad counselor will cause the leader to fail. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, he sought the advice of the counselors. He went to two sets of counselors. The older, wiser counselors told him, reduce the taxes, serve the people. The younger, brasher counselors told him, increase the taxes, be tougher than your father, appear strong. Rehoboam listened to the wrong counselors. And that, after that, the kingdom of Israel was split into two. Bad counselors can destroy a nation. But Jesus is given the name of Wonderful Counselor. His counsel will be filled with wonder. His counsel will lead us to the path of peace. It will lead us in the ways of right wiseness. It will never be wrong, but will always be in line with the will of God. That is the name that God gave to his Son centuries before he would be born. My Son will be your Wonderful Counselor. Jesus was to be intimately linked to his Father. He is to be called Mighty God and Everlasting Father. Isaiah is prophesying that a child will be born. And those who would have read Isaiah would have seen the words son and be born. And they would have connected this with every other child. And yet this child was to be called Everlasting Father. That's not so bad. But this child is also to be called Mighty God. Mighty God, or El Gibor in Hebrew, is a term reserved for God. How can this son, how can this be a son and yet God? That's the power of a name. This boy, this child, is to be more than any other human ever born. This child is to be God himself. Though we have many wonderful Christmas songs handed down to us, we have some very powerful songs that have been written in the last 20 years or so. And one of those is the song called Mary, Did You Know? We sit in wonder at what must have been going through the mind of Mary as she considered this little baby in her arms. In the song, it asks her, do you know that when you kiss the face of this little child, You are kissing the face of God. Do you know that you are holding the great I Am? That is what God is telling us when he names his son in Isaiah 9:6. The child will be me. He will be mighty God and everlasting Father. The last name places Jesus within the Trinity. He has been named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father. But the last gives him his ultimate role. Jesus will be Prince of Peace. Recently, there have been songs written about Christmas which are sad songs. They bemoan the fact that though Jesus came to bring peace 2,000 years ago, we still have wars, horrible wars, today. But that is to misinterpret the peace that Jesus came to bring. To limit Jesus to bringing peace between nations is to limit Jesus to the merely physical. But Jesus did not come to free us from earthly powers, just as he did not come to free the Jews from the Romans. But he was here to bring us peace between us and God. God did something amazing when he created us. He allowed us to be independent. He allowed us to make our own choices. He did not leave us alone. He did not walk away. He has been here all along, calling out to us, showing himself through the glory of his creation, sending word to the people through his prophets. But we have a habit of being short-sighted. We are self-centered. Not every day is Christmas. Not even Christmas is Christmas as we would like it to be. Because we have walked away from God, and there has been enmity between us and God. There has been discord. There is a war going on in the spiritual places, a war that we do not see directly, but rather we see it through its effects. Famine, disease, war, relationships that fall apart, depression, and so many other things. But Jesus came to bring an end to that. He came to bring a peace between us and God. Jesus came to tear down the walls that we had built up and continue to build up each and every day. Jesus came to bring an end to the war by conquering those forces we cannot see. They are conquered when we give our lives over into the hands of the Prince of Peace. It is that reason that through Jesus, we are standing right now in heaven with him. Though our bodies are here, we are with Jesus before God right now. Jesus is the Prince. God is the King. That is the hierarchy that is always presented. Jesus himself says that he came to bring glory to the Father. Everything is to point to God. But God also brings glory to his Son because Jesus obeyed the will of the Father. But there is one last name of Jesus, the name that to me brings the most power. That is the name Emmanuel. Again, this is a Hebrew word, and we see it in Isaiah 7:14, and it is this specific verse that Matthew points us to. El is God. The other two parts mean with us. So you put it all together, and Emmanuel, you have God with us. That is who Jesus is. He is God here on earth, walking with us, talking with us, laughing with us, crying with us, eating with us, being us. God, who we think of as being out there, is here. He was with us and is with us and will always be with us. But for one brief moment in time, God was in physical form, here with us, living our lives, walking in our shoes, suffering as we suffer, having limitations as we have limitations, enjoying the taste of bread, figs, and olives, learning how to walk and to talk. God placed himself in this situation. Which brings me to my last point. This child who is God with us, this child who is Prince of Peace, had a unique heritage. For there is another name that John the Gospel writer gives him. Jesus is the Word. John rewrites the beginning of creation, and he writes it this way. In the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And a little further down, John says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Today we're celebrating the birth of a child who had already lived an eternity in heaven. This child is God with us. This child who was, is, and ever shall be. The child about whom Paul writes, saying, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Today we are remembering that Jesus gave up everything to be here. He did not come in the form of a king, though he was a king. He did not come to be served, but to serve. He did not come in pride, but in humility. He did not come to live out his will, but to live out the will of the Father. This is Emmanuel. This is God with us. This is why the angels sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all with whom God is pleased. The break in the relationship with God and man was to be healed. The roadblocks we had put in the way, the walls we had built, the chasm we had created by going our own way, God would now deal with, because only he could and can deal with it. What we did not know we needed, God provided. It was all wrapped up in Jesus, a small child who would grow into the man we call the Messiah. What is in a name? When it is Jesus, Yeshua, it is everything, for he is our rescuer, our deliverer. He has become our wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God and is our everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. He is God with us, always. That is why we are here on Christmas morning, because God gave up everything to live among us, to die among us, and through the power of God to live once again. May you all receive the joy, the hope, the peace, and the light that comes through the one we know as Jesus, the Anointed One of God. Amen.